Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your DFS preview for this week's Genesis Invitational. We'll go tier by tier through the pricing, find the best, probably some of the worst plays as well. Sia Najad is here. Sia, welcome.
Welcome. I'm feeling pretty good. We were talking before we went hot that I had one of my best DFS weeks last week for the WM Phoenix, and I'm hoping to carry some of that momentum into this week.
Maybe you are an elevated event guy. You show up in the biggest spots, and that's when you put your best lineups in.
That's right. And I did have Rahm in the one and done, so maybe that's true.
That was a nice try. We'll get to that in just a second. Greg Ducharme is here. Greg, good to see you.
Good to see you too, boys. I guess for me, when it comes to one and done, the elevated events have not been my friend. No. So I got some work to do this week. Got to pick the winner this week. And you pick a winner in a designated event, and all is right in the world. So you're only 1 week away.
Speaking of picking winners in elevated events, let's just go straight to the one and done update here, if we have that, producer Troy. Thank you very much. So this would not be a one and done without some Sia drama. And to Sia's credit, he kind of owned this one, the no pick. I think that it was like 96% his fault, 4% my fault. But twice in three weeks, Sia, we had to hold strong on this.
I mean, holding strong is a relative term, right? Here's the thing. I was late, and in this one, I absolutely should own. I was 44 minutes late. I know that because I texted you and Patrick McDonald, Rick, at 8:44 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, which I think is like the moment you wrapped the show that you were doing, the mega preview. And so the pick, for everybody's edification, the pick was John Rahm, who was worth $1.38 million, who would have brought me up to $2.194 million. With all that said, my pick was late. I did not gain a competitive advantage, but it was my bad.
Yes, the problem is, for the purposes of the pick, it's for the show, Greg.
Yeah, I get it. I get it.
That's the problem, right? We're doing it for the show. Otherwise, you could just get it in Thursday morning at 5 a.m. and nobody would care. It's got to be in for the show.
It's also just these are the rules of engagement, right? I mean, these things are preset and we have rules, and it doesn't matter what they are. You can complain all you want that it's a bad rule, but the rule is the rule, and we got to live by it. We got to uphold the standard. This is the first cut one and done is a big deal. It's a high stakes game. I mean, look at all the money that we already have in February on this board. This is serious business, and we got to treat it as such.
The good news is there might be – now you still have John Rahm, see ya? And he might actually get – he could make you more than $1.3 million at some point in the future.
Could be this week.
Yeah, I have a feeling if I were to run it back this week, he'd just end up missing the cut. So I'm not going to pick John Rahm. But yeah, my bad on that one. I understand it's for the show. To be honest, I thought you guys would probably still be on the air when I got that pick in. I don't know when you wrapped. I don't know how long the show was, but for some reason I thought you'd still be on and I could just get the pick in on time. So I think I missed, it by a couple minutes, frankly.
So Sia with the no pick, 814,000. We met Kyle M this week. He is a pleasure. He is everything that we thought he was. We met him in Phoenix, KP and I did. He had John Rahm 1.38 million, moves to 1.6 million. Greg, oh boy. You and Kyle Porter had Colin Morikawa goose egg miscut.
I should have been late. I should have just withheld the pick. I'd be much happier right now, still having Colin Morikawa in my back pocket. But I've now burned Xander Schauffele, who I would love to play this week. He's gone. Morikawa is gone. And they've gotten me a charity $200,000. A charity. Because Xander, with, you know, we remember
right.
all the drama.
That's right. Yeah. We've had a drama issue every single week. That's right. That was a charity 200K.
Yeah, a charity 200K. Now, that being said, our leader, Mark, was involved with the, you know, he got like a charity 3.6. So
yeah, our only goal at this point for you and I, Greg, is to just keep our noses clean so there's no asterisks on this by the time, because if we get an asterisk on everybody else, then we're good here.
Yeah. I'm going to keep it clean the whole way. All right. You know, I'm going to, you can't go on a little rules spat like I just did.
Yeah.
Can I just say, I'm loving the chat right now. You guys probably haven't been dialed in, but you should scroll up after the show. Chat is really booming right now.
I'll check it out in a second. Keep it coming. Let's update you on the rest of the way. Patrick actually made a pretty nice pick. Sung JM, 652,000, gets him to 2.6 million. KP holds strong at 3 million. The fans join myself and Mark and got the big bucks, $3.6 million. So Mark is now in the lead, 6.7. I have 5.6, and the fans are at 4.1. It is kind of crazy, these elevated events, how much money there is.
Oh, up near the top, too. I mean, Sungjae is a great pick, and it feels like it's, you know, you feel like you're treading water with it. Getting 600K out of Sungjae is great. What, he finished tied sixth? And look at the difference. I mean, $3 million behind Scottie Scheffler. It's crazy. I mean, you gotta hit the win, I guess.
There is some general support for C in the chat. I do see
it's a cavalcade.
I see Garrett saying, why didn't Sia fill it out as soon as this show last Monday was over? Good point. We reminded him on Monday that, yes, we did, Garrett. I also I have never reached out via text to anyone before a show started to follow up because I didn't want to have to ding him a second time. So I'd argue we made attempts above and beyond the normal selection process.
We could go back to the tapes. We have comment. I mean, we got live sound of Sia acknowledging the position that he was in. I think he even said, I'll have to do it tonight.
I think the real tragedy is that I was in the basement last year and I'm in the basement again, but it's because of the 44 minutes late, because I wouldn't be in the basement this time. I don't want to spend a whole show on this. I'm just saying, no competitive advantage was gained. That's all I'm going to say. I was late.
That's right. You were. The one and done could have another shakeup this week because it's the same purse again, gentlemen, and basically the same field. So I imagine when we release these picks at 5 p.m. Eastern time, Sia, on Tuesday. 5 p.m. Eastern time, Sia, on Tuesday. When these
5
picks-
p.m. Eastern.
That's the normal. That's the normal time. Then we're back to the normal time tomorrow. Instead of the adjusted time. I just want
when these picks will be due tomorrow. Tomorrow,
the normal time. I need to hear you say the normal time.
The time of the show on Tuesday. At 5 p.m. Eastern time. I assume we're all going to be using some big boppers again.
Yeah, I would assume too. You know, the funny thing is, I was thinking about this. If you're sitting in a position like mine, very near the seller, but also very much in contention, do you go all out now? What's going to happen come playoff time, right? I mean, we got 14 big time events where you got to hit it big. And with Scotty and Rom coming off the board, Rory's going to be coming off the board here soon for some guys. You know, who do you want to hang on to late? There are some big decisions to be made for the longevity. So for Kyle, Patrick, myself, Kyle M, Sia, are we chasing right now? Or is there a long game to play? Because, I mean, those big events late in the year are going to be very important as well.
We spent a lot of time with Mark this week. He is very proud of his one and done performance thus far. So we have to kind of band together and figure out a way to make the madness stop. Yeah. Troy, do we have our picks? We can recap these real quick. We did pretty well. Yeah, there we go. It was just Patrick and I on Tuesday. We both won our matchups. Hatton over Shane Lowry. That was over before the weekend. Lowry missed the cut. Hatton finished inside the top 10. Tony Finau over Colin Morikawa. Again, over by the weekend. So two no sweat bets on the matchup side of things. Finishing position, Keegan T 20. Yes, sir. Plus 220, 250. JT Poston did not finish inside the top 20. I believe he missed the cut. And then we did not find an outright winner amongst Morikawa, Burns, Sung Jae, or Tom Kim. Do we have the best bets? Thank you kindly. With Higo top South African. No, that was Dylan Fratelli, I believe. And then Rory McIlroy, top GB and I. Plus 110. No, Rory finished T32 or something. Yeah, 32, something like that. Which Patrick has been better with his matchups, but he has yet to hit the best ball. We'll see how long that streak we can keep that one running for. Okay. Let's reassess, turn our attention to Riviera, turn our attention to the second consecutive elevated event. Before we do that, let me remind the fans that now that you're in this thing, your one and done has never been more important. That link is in the description right now. You can go get your vote in and you can pick your golfer for this week. Lots of money on the line. Go get it done right now. Tuesday, 5 p.m. Eastern time is when we will need all of those votes. We're going to jump back into this with golf course conversation, breaking down the field. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
And we're back. Okay, let's turn our attention to Riviera. Producer Troy, if you could share my screen, that'd be great. My website, rickrungood.com. Greg, let's talk about the golf course, because this is generally considered one of the best spots on the PGA Tour schedule. Everybody loves Riviera, and it generally is quite the test for these golfers.
Absolutely. You know, it's hard to hit greens on this golf course. It's a long golf course. You can see there over 7,300 yards and a par 71. In California, it's not like you're at elevation where the ball's going very far. So that can be a challenge. And again, you often get really firm and sometimes really glassy greens that can lead to a really tall task. I mean, you'll see green irregulation leaders for the week hitting about 72% of the greens. So they're very difficult to hit in regulation, and that puts a big premium on the short game, which you can also see by the numbers here. So I find it interesting. The two key numbers would be driving distance and strokes gained around the green. And I was looking at the past, six winners? And when I look at this for the week, Joaquin Neiman was second around the green. Max Homa was ninth around the green. Adam Scott was 17th. JB Holmes was 33rd, but first in putting. Bubba Watson was sixth around the green. Dustin Johnson was 44th in strokes gained around the green, but was fifth in scrambling. So it's really important to get the ball up and down. And while you can do it with the putter, some guys have had a little, they haven't had a stellar week in the strokes gained around the green number, but they've typically backed it up with really strong putting. So you're going to have to scramble a little bit this week. So a big emphasis for me on, I find it hard to put a big emphasis on distance because there's so many guys who hit it long. I don't really think it's a big separator, but there is a big separator when you start looking at approach play and around the green play as a little bit of a combination.
Right. So to add a little context to this, Greg's absolutely right. You're going to have some of the lowest fairway percentages this week, some of the lowest green in regulation percentages this week. I think the distance side of this model comes from, more people playing out of the rough. So the longer guys generally get a little bit of an edge, but absolutely right. Around the green play, this, I rarely favor that, Sia, but when you look at the golf course, both on paper and when you get out there and walk it, and you look at the types of players, and Greg listed out the performances that we've seen around the green here, like, there's a lot of times par is going to be a good score. Getting up and down out of the sticky Kikuyu is like, it's not for everybody.
Exactly. I mean, you want to keep yourself in this tournament, and there's a lot of people around the green that can certainly take themselves out of the tournament. So I'm putting a major emphasis on it as well. Obviously, the approach play, mid to long irons, I think is going to be important here. But yeah, around the green, putting, scrambling, it's all super key here. And so that I can't remember the last time I had this much of an emphasis on those factors, on that short game itself.
One other thing, Rick, you mentioned par being a good score, and you look at the winning scores here in relation to par. And in the last 6 years, there's only been two players who have gotten past 15 under. Joaquin Neiman, he won by a bunch last year. It was just dominant from him. Yeah. When Dustin Johnson got to 17 under, he won by five as well. So, 15 under, 14 under, sometimes it only takes 11 or 12. Those are really good numbers. So, that means by definition, and par is going to be a really good score.
It also
are hard to come by.
Yeah, and Rick, it also means that, finishing position is going to matter a little bit more than some of those birdie fests. Those points you pick up at the end of the tournament are going to be really key, more so than in most cases.
Yeah, there'll be a larger percentage of the fantasy points that you earn, those finishing position points. That's absolutely right. Here's the cheat sheet. Four golfers over $10,000. It's an absolutely stacked field. John Rahm's 11-1, Scottie Scheffler 10-7, Rory McIlroy 10-5, JT, Justin Thomas, $10,100. I'll bounce this over to you, Greg, first. There's a lot of good names here, and get ready for some more, because this entire like 8K and up is a joke.
Yes. Now we have this is the big three, right? 1, 2, and 3 in the world with Rahm, Scheffler, and McIlroy. And I think when you look at their games, all three of them, they fit the bill when it comes to that iron play and the scrambling ability as well. Now Justin Thomas is a really interesting one for me. And because the big three are all so good, I think it's hard to separate the three, and you're not going to go wrong choosing any of them. So, but I look to Justin Thomas in this range. And when I go through the course breakdown before looking even at the field, my first thought is Justin Thomas. One of the best iron players in the game, if not the best, and also one of the best wedge players, one of the best scramblers in the game as well. And he really fits that mold. So his name was circled before the pricing even came out for me.
I think what's interesting, Greg, is, and we've been tracking this for quite some time, is that his approach play since the US Open has been rather pedestrian. And now it feels like he's turning the corner a little bit. 7 strokes gained on approach in his last 7 measured rounds. That's 1 stroke per round. That's the rate you usually would like to see from an elite ball striker like Justin Thomas. And you're right, he's probably the most underrated around the green player in the world, because we talk about how good he is, with his second shot, his short game is stellar.
It's absolutely stellar. And if there's one kind of concern in his game, it's his putting, without question. Before I get into the putting, though, he did lead the field on Sunday in strokes gained approach at the WM as well. So another good sign.
Our set was at the back of the driving range where the guys would come over after their rounds. And Thursday night, JT and Mike Thomas and Bones were grinding. They were looking for something. I think they found it because he got better every single round last week.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a good sign. And then when you look on the greens, he's got his the putter he used to win the PGA championship back in play. And he was pretty close to level on the greens this week. He didn't really lose a whole lot in any round. He didn't really gain a whole lot in any round. He ended up losing a little bit on the week, less than a stroke, but it was a positive sign for me. And a putter shift for JT going back to his gamer, I think, is a really good sign. I think it'll feel familiar. And sometimes when something new comes into play, you can get that spark. So Justin Thomas for me is a big time play in this field. I think it's a great course fit. And he did finish 6th last year. He has a runner up here as well a couple of years ago. I'm looking for big things out of JT.
Yeah, 3 top 10s in his last 5 starts at Riviera. Okay, Sia, we've got a vote for Justin Thomas. How would you like to allocate your funds at the top of the board?
I love the Justin Thomas argument, especially if you contrast it to the other 3 guys just from a price standpoint. And I love how the game is trending. You know, what's really interesting is it's hard to make lineups if, you know, there's so many guys I like in the 9 and the 8K range that it's actually the couple lineups I've tried, it's been hard to make lineups with Jon Rahm in the lineup. I mean, I like Jon Rahm this week. He checks all the boxes, short game, whatever proximities you're looking for. I mean, obviously he checks all the boxes, right? So I like him, but among these 4, I think I'll take the slight discount on Rory McIlroy. We know the history here is great. Number 1 tee to green, by the way, last 36 rounds, 4th on approach, obviously super strong around the green, excellent with the mid to long irons. But what's interesting at the WM Phoenix was that he lost with the putter all 4 days. And I actually think it's going to be more challenging this week. I don't think that's really in dispute. I think that's going to serve him a little bit better than it did last week. So I think Rory is primed to like really kind of climb and win a tournament.
We spent a lot of time with the Jon Rahm group on the weekend, and it's pretty sick how good he is. And I think Jon Rahm had maybe his B-minus stuff last week. You could tell he didn't have it. His dispersion off the tee was a little bit wider than normal. He didn't look particularly comfortable. He didn't hit a lot of great shots. And that, Greg, that like the B-minus stuff is like third best in the world.
Yeah. right. And that's what you get during the week. But he's such a competitor, and you know, he's holing putts for par and giving big fist pumps because he's just staying in it, just hoping he can find something and get hot. So like I said, I mean, we have Rory, you get a nice discount on that. That's a reasonable play. Scotty played really well here last year, and we're in Scotty season. There's no question about that. He's kind of asserted himself as one of these, you know, last week he really let the world know he belongs in the conversation with John and Rory, very, very much so. And he's now ahead of both of them. So I have no problem with any of those plays. I think they're extremely reliable.
All right, let's talk about the nines. This is a range that starts with Xander Schauffele at 9,900, Max Homa, 97, Tony Finau at 95. Then we round the whole thing out with Sung Jae, Colin Morikawa, Sam Burns, and Patrick Cantlay. Okay, Sia, you're generally pretty bullish on the nines. What do you want to do here?
I am, and as usual, I want to start some of my lineups in the nines. And I just think it's so interesting because I completely agree that there's a top three in this tournament. But I think if we had Rahm at 11,100 and then we had whatever, Scotty and Rory at 10,900, 10,800, and we just kind of went down by 100. And we put Xander, Homa, and Finau in the 10K range, perhaps maybe the lower 10K range. I think we'd all be okay with that. That's not how DraftKings works. I get it. But I don't think there really should be a mental block between this 10 and 9K range, especially the upper 9K range, with the drop off being Sung Jae down from that. I love all three of those guys at the top. I mean, for me, especially when you factor in course history, in Tony Finau, I mean, I'm so afraid of him. Sometimes I'm just the guy that picks wrong on Tony Finau, but everything, he's number one in my model, which shouldn't be a gigantic surprise. Maybe my model's a little off. Maybe it should be Rory or Rahm, but I love the track record here. I love the recent form. I should note in your adjusted model, Rick. So what I do, by the way, is I kind of do all my research before the Monday show and kind of get into the granular stuff. And then I actually go to your adjusted fit model right before the show starts, just to kind of see where my guys measure up. And boom, there's Tony Finau right at the top. And there's Max Homa second. Those are my two favorite guys in the 9K range. And again, it goes back to the track record, how well they play just on the West Coast, particularly with Max Homa, and how well they're playing right now.
Yeah, Finau hasn't missed a cut here in 5 years. Two runner-up finishes during that stretch, another T15. So playing much better since missing two of his first three cuts. And he's obviously just a much better player now than he has been. Even with losing strokes putting in each of his last two starts, something that he hadn't died, he snapped a 10 measured event putting streak of gaining, and has lost strokes in each of his last two, and they were still T9, T14, which is how good the rest of his game is. So, Greg, what do you start making out of this $9,000 range?
Yeah, I think Tony Finau is certainly an option. There's one guy I see it in mention who kind of stands out to me, and it's Sung Jae Im. And we've talked about this a lot. Now, I have a concern. His course history isn't great, although somewhat limited. T33 is his best finish. But the thing that really jumps out to me about Sung Jae is the ball striking performance the last 2 weeks, gaining 7 strokes at the Farmers, gaining 4 strokes, approaching the green last week at the WM Phoenix Open. And then in the last two events combined, he adds another 6 or 7 strokes around the green. And you've talked about this a lot, Rick, and I think it's really accurate where Sung Jae kind of shows us when something's getting hot and he kind of can go on a little bit of a run. And I'm wondering if this is if we have to worry about the course history or if Sung Jae's little recent trend here being exactly what I look for in the model, if that's a sign that he can pop off and really contend. I mean, honestly, if you take out course history, he could be a one and done play this week.
I will take the fall for this 2020 missed cut. So if you remember, he was, I mean, look at this stretch of golf. It was like 18 or 19 straight cuts made. I think it was the longest streak on the PGA Tour. He was rocking and rolling. I got there on Thursday morning and I fist bumped him. And that was the first time I had met Sung Jae, and then he missed the cut. So I'll take that one, Greg. So the other ones are on him, but that one's on me.
Yeah. So that rules out one of them at least.
But he's been dominant. I mean, he's been great.
Yeah, absolutely flushing it. So could Sung Jae, could he win this week? Could he take these guys on at Riviera? I think he has the game to do it. So I'm watching him very closely. He's going to be in a lot of my lineups. I'm curious, Sia, how do you see ownership playing out in this 9K range?
Similar to last week, I think it's going to be somewhat flat. I mean, I do think Tony Finau is probably going to, especially because of how he rates out, he's probably going to be the highest owned guy. But I don't think it's going to be such a chasm between him and some of the other guys, because that's not like when DFS realizes a lot of the ownership is, you know, by Wednesday, people are kind of switching off and making their adjustments. So I definitely think it's going to be Tony Finau, but, you know, Xander, Sung Jae, Those guys are all obviously in the conversation as well for ownership.
Homa's trending.
Homa
too. Yeah, one of the higher owned, at least one and done selections for the week. So we'll see if that translates to the DFS game. Anybody else we need to talk about here before we move on? Morikawa,
yeah,
runner up last year, misses the cut. You know, what's our level of concern around Colin missed cut last week?
I think it's wise to go back to Colin this week. Again, you know, one missed cut last week in a big group playing with Rory McIlroy. Of course, I was on him last week, and I've had this happen before where you're off by a single week. I still think the reason why I liked Morikawa last week, I think that still holds true. He's been hitting the ball great, and there are some concerns around the green.
Yeah,
but I think you're looking at you know, a different style of around the green play last week than this week. There's a lot more rough around the greens in spots here for sure. There are some runoff areas, but I think he can handle that. And it's a little risky, but especially if there's an ownership reduction on him and you can get kind of that ownership discount, I think Morikawa could be a fine play.
I think you are going to get the ownership discount on him because I think the general tenor, Greg, of what you just said is the around the green gameplay coupled with what we saw last week. Just he's not the right fit. What I think is interesting is, A, I agree with you. He's a great play for DFS just because of that sentiment. But Patrick Cantlay at 9,000, it's just so appetizing. I kind of wonder where you guys are at with that because it's going to be hard for me to resist playing him in a decent amount of lineups.
It's been lackluster, to say the least. We know that he can turn that around in the blink of an eye, in an instant. Missing the cut last week, T26 at the American Express. He was kind of, you know, one of the big dogs there. And this event, you kind of see him finishing in between the top 10 and the top 20, which is good, but it's not a course history I'm necessarily, you know, sprinting to. You know, he's contended here. He's competed well here before. So I'm kind of lukewarm on Cantlay. I like the ownership discount, but I'm a little more favorable to the guy right below him, even though he's in the 8K range.
He's been good, not great. I think the best finish that we saw, he had gained 8 strokes putting that week at TPC Summerlin. His approach play has not been that good. His driver's been a little bit weaker as of late. He just doesn't seem as sharp. So he's been good. He hasn't been great. Unfortunately, we're in a tier where there's a lot of great
players. Yeah. The one thing about him though, Sia, in your favor, is he can win without the approach play.
Yeah.
Right. He's right. One of those rare guys where the rest of his game is so strong. He can have some good iron play weeks without really gaining a lot of strokes because he plays to that strength of a really hot putter sometimes. So the approach play doesn't really concern me quite as much. I wonder, you're betting on him kind of catching fire this week.
The $8,000 range, no shortage of big names here. Victor Hovland, Cam Young, Will Zalatoris, who did not play last week, is playing this week. Jordan Spieth, Tom Kim, Jason Day, and then the bottom, Fitzy, Hideki, Terrell Hatton, Adam Scott, Justin Rose. Sia, you get first crack at the 8K range.
I mean, I love this range. Usually it's a range I desperately want to skip, but there's just so much talent here from the top down. But I'm going to go sort of to the middle down. I'm going to start with Jason Day. Not much recent form on this track, but I mean, Jason Day, I don't want to jinx him like you jinxed Sungjae in 2020, Rick, but I'm pretty sure Jason Day is officially back. And I think there's a few guys in this 8K range and the upper 7K range that we'll get to that are officially back. And I think he's a great course fit for one. And in your adjusted fit model, he's number 6 overall, by the way, Rick. Yeah. Ball striking elite, short game coming into form, grades out extremely well in my model as well. So I think at 8,400, I don't want to say it's like a bad price because it's not. That's where he should be. But man, I think this guy is playing in a way that he could be contending on Sunday afternoon. Justin Rose is another guy I like. I don't know if I want to go back to him. I don't know if I want to observe the Greg Ducharme rule of going back to a guy who just won. But I do, the short game, it's been excellent. Approach has been very good over his last two at least. The other guy I'll mention, and I think he's going to be popular, so I may not actually come around to him, is Adam Scott at a flat 8K. Just, you know, great finishing positions dating back to the FedEx St. Jude. I mean, he's been really good as of late. I don't think a lot of people are noticing, but the putter can go bad sometimes, but we know he's good on Poe as well. And we know his experience here is good too. So Adam Scott, I think, is a pretty good price at 8K.
The Aussies love themselves Riv. You get kind of like the comps to some of the Aussie courses. So these guys tend to play well. Let me pull up Jason Day real quick, because outside of the miscut at the RSM Classic, it is a stretch of seven straight top 21 finishes, with his last three, fifth place finish in Phoenix, a T7 at Torrey Pines, and a T18 at the American Express. Jay Day certainly vibing right now.
But before you click off of Jay Day, Rick, go to his course history here, because there's something that really stands out to me at the Genesis. Now, I've been beating the Jay Day drum for all year. I've been yep, that's exactly right. So I love Jason Day, and I've been playing him every single week so far this year. But the one thing through Jason Day's career that he never really lost was the putter. But here at Riviera, he's never had it. I never gained strokes putting at Riviera. That's a big concern for me. Now, in many of these other instances leading into this, for instance, last week, well, Jason Day's iron play has improved, and that's been kind of the difference maker. And the thing that always allows me to overlook course history is when somebody's weakness has become a strength, where they're kind of a different player. But Jason Day never lost his putting, but here he has. So I love Jason Day. I have my concerns with him on the greens here. I think there's something to that.
How bad has Jason Day's putting been? Well, everyone in this field, in their history at Riviera, of golfers who have as many rounds as Jason Day, measured rounds, 14 of them, only Gary Woodland has been worse with the putter at Riv. So it's, statistically so
one of the best, and he's one of the best putters in the world.
Yeah, tough.
So I don't think he sees it when he gets on these greens. Anyway,
what else do we have in this $8,000 range that we should talk about?
Well, one, I'll start with Victor Hovland, who's right up there on top. I know last week didn't go very well, but he has a great record here, right? A T4 and a T5 in his two starts. A little worried about the around the green performance last week, even though it's been getting much better in the, you know, this year. It's definitely been getting better. But I feel that this is a great golf course for Victor Hovland.
Here's the secret. Go get Victor's fairway prop and bet the under if you can find it somewhere. So these are already hard fairways to hit, and I'm pretty sure he's going to play down the wrong fairway on 15 intentionally. So we've already removed one opportunity of him hitting that fairway. So keep your eye out for any fairway props from Victor this week.
So he's looking at 13 fairways max.
Max. And and these guys are only hitting 50% of them at the anyway. Best. Yeah, exactly.
All right. I like that one, Rick.
Thank you.
Maybe he can spend one of his good tee shots on that one and hit it in the wrong fairway on purpose.
Right. Stripe it right down the middle of the wrong fairway.
Yeah. And then he can, you know, just miss a couple by a few yards. But I like Victor on the course history angle. I like Adam Scott on the course history angle as well. He's kind of fitting that his game has been pretty pale on rickrungood.com, which I like, although he's not the pale player of the week. We'll get to that a little bit later. I do have one of those, but I trust Adam Scott here at Riviera. And I think his game has been good enough for him to come to what he calls his favorite golf course on the PGA Tour and go contend. I think Adam Scott has that capability.
Was this his last win here in 2020? He hasn't won after that, has he? I think that's the last one.
I believe you're right.
Yeah, I think it is.
So
he's playing good golf.
Yeah, he's playing good golf. He's got the distance. The putting has become a strength over the last little while. So I like what I'm seeing out of him. Now, there is a guy I'm really... I mean, Will Zalatoris. You can't look past him. This is just one of those things where the stats of late are a little... I kind of take them with a grain of salt because we haven't seen a lot of them. But this is one of those major championship type venues that Will Zalatoris excels in. And on that basis alone, on that premise alone, he's a good play, in my opinion. This is the guy I wanted to get your thoughts on, because I don't know what's going on, but Hideki Matsuyama. I'm looking at this and I see I'm licking my chops, right? This should be a great spot for Hideki. And what I saw at the Farmers Insurance Open with him was some really strong ball striking. I mean, he's got three top tens here as well. And he's so good in the short game, right? These kind of scrambling tests Hideki is great in. And you look at the recent streak, you're talking about five events in a row gaining strokes around the greens. But where are we with his ball striking? Is there a problem? He lost four, almost five strokes approaching the green last week.
I think I'm in on Hideki. It's like bizarro world where the short game's been awesome and the ball striking's been a bit off, but he has been better recently on approach. He's been better recently off the tee. He had that one bad week in Phoenix. It's so weird. It's like, I'm just asking Hideki to gain a couple of strokes on approach, which is like his truest of all true DNAs. So
yeah. I mean, he could gain 10 strokes this week.
Yeah. I don't think it's that big of a stretch. And he also, because of the history of the poor putting, which is much better, he's gained an 8 of 9. He does not get credit for how good his short game is, because he's always had a great around the green game. He would knock everything to 4 feet, then miss the 4-footer. But right. he is much more sound with the flat stick now.
Yes, I totally agree. And gaining strokes the last 2 weeks on the greens as well. And he lost strokes at the Sony. But before that, it was really, really sound on the greens. I mean, almost like a Tony Finau kind of run on the greens. So I'm in on that one too. But that's all I got.
Can I just say, you know, it's funny, and I hate to bring like look at who's in the 8K range. Like, to the extent that anybody ever complained about like people going to live and some big names, this is like so ridiculous. Like, we didn't even bring up Matt Fitzpatrick, who I know is like kind of has been a favorite of Rick yourself, if and Greg, maybe you as well. We didn't even bring up Jordan Spieth. Like, these are all good plays. And by the way, I think I'm in on Hideki too. There's just so many good players in this 8K range. It's crazy.
Yes, it's wild stuff. You could almost, I mean, Terrell Hatton's been like hotter than most of those guys. So it's great. You could build a whole lineup of 8K guys, the sevens.
Hey everyone, this is Jimmy Conrad, your favorite former U.S. men's national team player and the host of the Call It What You Want podcast. And I'm here to tell you that Vuori is a versatile clothing brand that speaks my language. It's inspired from the coastal California lifestyle, just like me. Its products stand the test of time, just like me, and also just like me, it endeavors to inspire others to live vibrant, healthy lives. Vuori gear is designed to look great in everyday life while also being perfect for any workout activity. I'm currently rocking the men's Sunday performance jogger, and don't let the name deceive you. You can wear these babies any day of the week and in any situation. I'm talking going to the office, running errands, the gym, whatever your heart desires, because Vuori is an investment in your happiness. For our listeners, they are offering 20% off your first purchase. So get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet at Vuori.com/sports. That's Vuori.com/sports. Not only will you receive 20% off your first purchase, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75 and free returns. Again, go to Vuori.com/sports and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Fowler, Siwu, Sahith, Wyndham Clark. That's the top. The bottom portion, Dietrich, Cam Davis, the aforementioned Gary Woodland, Hayden Buckley, amongst others. So, see, I'll bounce this right back to you. How do you want to pick from the now significantly larger tier of the 7Ks?
I like the 7Ks. There's a few guys I like here, and one of them is another guy that's back, is officially back. I'm declaring it. Perhaps I should have declared Jason Day was back like three tournaments ago. But this guy, I can declare right now, it's Ricky Fowler at 7,900. Mm. I love Ricky Fowler here. Around the green games, it's been solid. Putting's been solid. The last three tournaments, we're seeing the finishing positions. We're seeing an upward trajectory with the 54th, 11th, and 10th. That's all this year, by the way, this calendar year, since late January, in fact. Approach has been elite. I just think we're getting Ricky Fowler at a very reasonable price at this point, and I think we're going to continue to see him trend upward. The other two guys I'll mention here, Tommy Fleetwood, I think 7,300 is a pretty good price there. And I wonder, I don't think he's going to be super popular. He wasn't bad at the WM Phoenix, even though he ended up missing the cut. He's been okay on the world tour, so he's been in decent form. And he writes out really well in my model on approach, around the green, the proximities, putter, tee to green, fourth in your adjusted fit model, Rick. So Tommy Fleetwood's another guy. And then the other guy who I think is going to be really good just to navigate around this course and who has a really elite short game is Alexander Norn. He had a miscut at the Phoenix as well. But again, that was one of those where it just wasn't that bad of a miscut. He ended up being bad off the tee and ironically around the green, but I'm not really worried about that. And he's got a good history here.
Yeah, he missed the cut on the number. Greg, I was actually kind of looking just to kind of put a bow on the Hideki conversation.
Yeah.
He did. Would you prefer that the vast majority of the strokes that he lost on approach last week were on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 shots? Or would you prefer it that it was like, I mean, he lost over a half a stroke on approach on 5 different shots. He lost 1.6 by hitting it in the water on 15. So that's almost more than a third of his total strokes gained. Yeah. So I don't think it was as bad as it kind of looks.
No water at Riviera.
Yeah.
So that's a good sign. That's absolutely a good sign. And again, you put that on a golf course, right? Maybe you have a couple of errant shots in there, but you also have that short game to back it up. Well, the short game can't back it up when you're in the water, but at Riviera, it can. So, all right, you just cemented my case. I'm in on Hideki, and he is moving up my 8K board.
Me too.
Right around the Hovland kind of camp. Definitely ahead of Adam Scott, who I like. So that's good. See it.
Yeah.
You mentioned Tommy Fleetwood. Tommy Fleetwood is my pale player of the week. I think this is a great fit for Tommy Fleetwood. Another, just like Hideki Matsuyama, another guy with a really underrated short game.
Yeah, he's so good.
He's had a little bit of putting struggles here, but he doesn't necessarily lean on that. So he has a T28 and a T37 here, but a very talented player who I think is priced very fairly. And so he's definitely going to make my lineup as my pale guy of the week. Couple other guys that I had on my list. I like Norin as well. Sia, who you mentioned, but up near the top, there's a couple players who really have my attention. One of them is Siwoo Kim, who has been just putting the lights out of it. Absolutely putting the lights out of it. And he's been hitting it all right. And we have a T23 in his last start. Three straight top 25s following his win. I think the ship has kind of settled down for him. This has been a very volatile event for him, just like pretty much every other event that he plays on tour. Yeah. But the game is starting to get steady. Back in 2019, he did finish solo third here. So he's had some success. I like where his short game is. And this is kind of what we're looking for, right? A very proficient short game with adequate ball striking, which is very odd, But that's the way I look at this golf course. So I'm way in on him. The other two guys that I am curious about would be Wyndham Clark,
yep,
and Keegan Bradley. But I think Wyndham Clark is probably a little bit more interesting.
So I like this one a lot. So first of all, he has not missed a cut since Vegas, and he's got 1, 2, 3, 4 top 16 finishes since then. It's like basically half his starts or 4 out of 7. He was in a big group on Saturday or Sunday, held his own. He's one of the longer guys on tour if you like the distance angle. He has an adequate, if not much better than that, short game. And he's played well here in the past. And he's playing great golf now.
And the thing that, like, when I think of Wyndham Clark from 30,000 feet, he is a driver and a putter to me. Driver and a putter. But of late, his iron play has been really, really good. He's gained strokes in 5 out of his last 6 approaching the green, 4 last week, 3.5 at the Farmers Insurance Open. The short game, he's gained strokes in 5 straight, including 4 last week. And he is naturally a great putter. So I'm a big fan of him this week.
Who was the other one? Wyndham Clark.
Keegan.
Oh, Keegan. Yeah, Keegan.
Yeah, Keegan is playing some inspired golf to me. I think Keegan has that Ryder Cup on his mind. And this seems like a great fit for him. But look at how good he's been on and around the greens lately. The last 2 weeks have been phenomenal. I certainly trust him tee to green. And you add into the mix a little bit of confidence on and around the greens, a place where he's contended before. He has a way back in 2015, he has a tied 4th finish. But you know, that's the time frame when Keegan's using a belly putter, and I don't think his putter is to that level yet, but I think it's getting a lot closer. His game is complete the way it was early in his career.
Yeah, he's playing some of the best golf he has in a long time. I mean, we don't even have the metrics from his win at the Zozo, but you imagine those would be pretty good if we threw them in there as well. Let's find value. Some pure value. $6,000 range. The top of it, Adrian Meronk, Alex Smalley, Andrew Putnam, Emiliano Grillo, Johnny Vegas, Nick Hardy. The min price golfers are J.B. Holmes, Austin Smotherman, Max McGreevy, Tyler Duncan, amongst others. Sia, let's find some darts, please.
Are we contractually obligated to mention Tiger Woods' name, seeing as though we skipped over the 7-day
range? Wow. All right. Sorry, I forgot about Tiger.
I don't know. I don't have to talk about him, but I just curious if he's on either of your radars. I mean, for DFS purposes,
but no.
Probably not mine, but, you know.
I mean, there's like no conceivable way you should invest any money into Tiger Woods, but you should be very excited to watch him play. Right?
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah, that's perfectly said. I mean, literally, I've never seen a graph like that.
I know.
that's a cliff.
It's a right angle.
It's like, it's almost like something happened there.
Yeah, it's almost like, yeah, it's exactly, yeah, exactly right. It's almost like he fell off a cliff.
It's great to have him back playing.
Yeah, it's gonna be awesome. I'm gonna watch every single shot, but that profile right there will not be getting my money.
That's fair. All right. Well, I apologize for the detour, but there's a few guys that I like here. One that I liked last week that I mentioned on this very show is James Hahn, who was had a good course history last week and has a pretty great course history as well for Riviera. So I think James Hahn is interesting at 6,700. Bezuidenhout's been pretty bad. I wonder, again, we're kind of reaching here in the 6K range. I wonder if he's going to be able to kind of summon something with the ball striking, because we know the around the green game can be elite with him. So I at least think he's interesting. Ben Taylor, he's missed 3 cuts in a row, but the short game can really get going with him, and he's only 6,400. We know the ball striking can be good with Ben Taylor, so I think maybe that's worth a shot. Maybe one other name I'll mention, Adam Shank at 6,400. The short game tends to keep him in things, as the ball striking hasn't been very good, but 3 straight made cuts, something to be said for a 6,400 guy there.
Yeah, and 2 of them are top 25s, and the 2 that he did finish top 25 were the 2 hard ones, Farmers and Phoenix. He finished T37 at the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. Okay, Greg,
Where would you like to put your last man, what, you know, your last couple guys in your roster in?
Okay. So I like James Hahn as well. I totally see that angle. I liked him last week, played him last week a lot. So I'm fine with that. I feel like there's a little bit more upside in SH Kim. Now this is, you're talking about four out of the last five gaining strokes approaching the green. And even at the American Express, where he missed the cut, he lost less than a stroke approaching the green. So I love that element. He's shown plenty of ability on and around the greens as well. It's quite a streak on the greens that he has going right now. In fact, this entire season, he's gained strokes putting, which is pretty good. And he's only lost strokes. I mean, you're going back to the Fortinet. This entire season, he's gained strokes putting every event. He's only lost strokes around the green in three cases. So I think SH Kim is a very valuable high upside with some safety too. I think it's really quite a good play. So I'm very attracted to that play. And then the other guys that I have on my list would be Steven Yeager, who I believe is down at 6,500. I thought it was at 64. He's kind of, it's just been okay, but I like what he's done with the short game. Hasn't quite gotten the putter going. He missed the cut in Phoenix, but before that it was really pretty steady. So I think that's a viable option. And then two guys that I'm kind of taking a chance on based on name. One would be Lonto Griffin, mm-hmm. who I think is still trying to find his way. And it may not be wise to go early on him, but Lonto's played some really good golf here at the Genesis. Everything's been a top 40 for him. His best, he's played three times. So everything inside the top 40 and his best is a T26. So he's kind of potentially a steady option. Last but not least, back up toward the top of this board is Francesco Molinari. Okay, this I'm very uncomfortable with. So I would much rather play SH Kim. But sometimes you got to take a chance to win. A couple years ago, he finished T8 here. He played some really nice golf in Abu Dhabi. And I know that he has demonstrated a high quality short game before and been a very good ball striker. Is he worth a flyer? Is there enough upside, potential upside for a flyer, or is this just a bad idea?
That's a question that everyone is going to have to, I mean, I don't love the 6K range. I think these guys are all flyers. We saw the way the leaderboard shaped. There were at one point, eight of the top nine players on the leaderboard were all in the top 20 of the OWGR. I mean, it was just an absolutely stacked leaderboard. So yeah, I think a lot of these guys are dart throws. I'll throw one more out there.
Well, Rick, I got a question on that.
Yes.
If you're expecting a leaderboard like that,
yeah,
what do you do? You obviously can't have all those guys in your lineup.
Right.
So what do you go aggressive and hope that the one guy that's inside the top 20 is your guy from the 6K range? Or do you go with somebody a little bit safer who you think, like, I'm not going to take a chance on Francesco Molinari.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a guy who I think can, you know, string together some cuts.
Yeah, I think that we had a really good conversation last week about like win equity and how you would spread that out. And I think that the path to, if you knew the top of the leaderboard was going to be stacked like that, I think you'd probably take like a more balanced win equity line. Now, you probably wouldn't have, I don't know if you would have gotten away with it because Scotty actually won, but you know, any of those other guys, when Burns was in it, when Sungjae was in it, and then, I mean, Ricky wasn't very expensive and Jay Day was reasonable, to just guys that have at least a little bit more of a high upside pedigree, even if they're not playing their best golf at the moment.
So it's not stars and scrubs here. You're looking balanced.
I think I prefer that a little bit.
Yeah. So there is too. I was going to say that there is I kind of agree with you, Rick, especially because I don't think there's a lot of difference between some of those 8K guys and 9K guys and some of the upper 9K and the 10K guys. I think if this ends up playing like a pretty tough course and the winner's at, you know, I don't know, I'm just throwing out a number, like 13 under, and a finishing position really becomes like a premium in terms of the points you get there. There is a scenario where you could throw in like an Adam Shank or somebody like really low in the 6K range. And if you get the right five guys, let's say you only, let's say that sixth guy doesn't make the cut and you only have a 5 out of 6 lineup. If you get the right five guys, and part of the reason you got the right five guys is because you went super low. If it's not a lot of scoring on Saturday and Sunday, and you got the right five, like let's say your five guys are inside the top, 12 or top 10, I mean, you're looking pretty good at that point in a tournament that's likely not going to be a birdie fest. So there is the potential that a 5 out of 6 could actually win a tournament, depending on what tournament you choose, of course.
The one guy I throw out there is Adrian Meronk, who burned us all the last time he was the popular one. It was Bermuda. He missed the cut. He was 10,300. Since then, he had the 7th place finish in Dubai. He won the Australian Open. He had a T10 in Abu Dhabi. He finished T4 in his last start, the Ras Al Khaimah Championship. Very good driver, well-rounded player. I just don't know if he can translate anything remotely close to his European Tour success to the PGA Tour. It's very exciting. There's not been a lot of evidence of him being able to do that thus far.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But it's a great profile.
I struggle with those.
It's a great profile, but we got to get it here. I mean, he's won twice in his last like 20 starts.
Yeah. It's good. It's a hard line to cross. It's very rare that you get a Thomas Dietrich who has that kind of easy transition over here to the PGA Tour.
Also, one of those wins was the Australian Open with the Australian vibes sort of commentary. Something to be said for that, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. There you go. All right, let's enter our strokes gain narrative portion of the show where we ask you to get a little freaky with it and see what you can send us in terms of lineups that all have something connected to it. Let's look. Thank you kindly. Mike says, all things Genesis, the band. Oh, good. This is right up my alley. Not so are these members of the band? Is that what I'm understanding?
Okay. Yep.
So Phil Collins Morikawa or Phil Colin Morikawa, Peter Gabriel Malnati, Michael Rutherford Thompson, Tony Banks Finau, Victor Hovland of Confusion, Scott Stuh. That's all things. All ings.
All right.
Is that good, Greg?
Well, I like Phil Collins Morikawa. That beyond that, I don't know. Rick, we're not music guys.
No, the next one's not going to be any better. It's from Joseph. I'm sure it's great. He has taken Sia. What is this? Invisible Touch, a song.
That's right. It's one of the more popular. Yeah, that's right.
And this is a Genesis song?
Yeah, and I can encourage everybody who doesn't know this song, because a lot of people aren't going to know this song. It's from like the early 80s. You're going to want to maybe YouTube the song and then sing these lyrics, because it's actually a really catchy song. And what Joseph did with these lyrics, once you have the tune in your head, this is pretty great stuff.
Yeah, so I don't have the tune in my head. You can go Google this, and then you'll see Joseph has replaced something with Hovland and M and Clark and Shoffley and Smalley. So you'll have to go sing that ditty to yourself, but I'm sure it's well done, Joseph. What else we got? Fantasy Bunker Ryan says, we head to the home of Hollywood with an automobile sponsor. That's right. Name the other automobile sponsors.
Honda
last year.
Wow. Long standing. No longer Buick.
There's at least one more I can think of.
There's another Genesis, the Scottish Open.
I can only think of one more, but there's gotta be a third, doesn't there?
Well,
Does John Deere count?
I was just going to ask that.
No.
No, I don't think so.
BMW,
duh.
That was the one I was thinking of, but yeah. I think that's it. Honda, BMW, Genesis. Ryan says, here are a few classic TV shows and movies featuring cars. Jason, Days of Thunder.
Sam Knight Rider, Mad Max McGreevy, very good.
Yeah.
Matt, back to the Coocher.
That's great.
Aaron Magnum P. Rye, and James James gone in 60 seconds.
Yeah, that's good.
Excellent. Pretty good. All right, that's pretty good, right? All things Las Vegas from John Markowski. He says, vegan Bradley, Mac Hughes Hefner, Siwoo Kim Kardashian, Sung J Implants, Traff Vic Hovland. That's good. And finally, everyone's favorite TV host and former boy bander, Nick Lachey Ravey Chesbury.
Great.
That was good stuff. That was pretty good. Any final thoughts before we got to get out of here? Going once, going twice.
I'm fired up for this week.
The fan vote for One and Done is now open. The link is in the description. Get your votes in. Secure your spot. You are in third. You are making a run, and there is a lot of money on the line. Tuesday mega preview show, and then I think we're going to go Sunday night. I got to check this guy. It's been a while. We were doing shows from the set. We had Mark come over. Danny Cannell joined us from a show. Joe Musso. It was a wild week. There was a wild lot of stuff week. Happening.
You guys did great.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Greg, do you have a broom to sweep up some of these names that Rick just dropped?
Come on. I'm out here rubbing elbows. Yeah, Mark Immelman. Yeah, like rubbing elbows.
He's a star.
Mark Immelman got recognized at the bar we went to. I'll tell you that. So he is
he's very recognizable.
He's a megastar. That'll do it. Big thanks to producer Troy. Does all the hard work behind the scenes. See ya. Najad at Sia Najad, Greg Ducharme at The Real GFD. You can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
Hello, everyone. It's Michael Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.